baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
A good Monday morning to you all. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. This is the walk-off. And, buddy, we've got lots to get to here, but I want to start with just talking about how much I need to back off the Twitter a little bit. I spent most of my weekend not intelligently responding to people, but actually acting like a 14-year-old child on Twitter. I know that, and we are going to get to these Ronald Acuna rumors that have come out and the fact that the Jays have been mentioned as one of the teams that may be kicking the tires on that. Of course, Bichette would be a part of that with Dansby Swanson as the free agent leaving Atlanta. Maybe not. We'll see what happens, obviously. But, you know, Alex Anthopoulos has always been a very thorough general manager and has taken some very unique steps to filling holes within his organization. And of course, the fact that Bichette may be available, it does kind of make a little bit of sense. We're going to get way more into that. My thing was, there's so many Braves fans right now, buddy, that are, they hate this. Fair, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not even upset that they hate these rumors. I totally get that. But a little delusional on what they would want for a return. You know, like there's a few of them, a few Braves podcasters who have said it would take Teoscar, Bichette, Manoa, and prospects to get Acuna. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't. I just can't accept that. I can't accept that. And buddy, I know that I'm arguing with 14-year-olds online. By the way, all of you 14-year-old folks watching the walk-off, we appreciate you muchly. I am not saying this. I'm saying that I'm a 40-year-old man and I need to grow the hell up and stop arguing with 14-year-olds online. I mean, maybe there are the hope, the dream is here, Adam, is that they're just other 40-year-olds with nothing better to do with their time for that.
What's the more controversial rumor going around on Twitter? You're the Twitter guy, so I want your opinion on this. Ronald Acuna being shopped or pharmaceutical company Eli Lilly giving insulin away for free? Twitter is wild right now, man.
Twitter is just a mess right now. You can just verify whatever you want. It's so.
That was one of my favorite criticisms of that Ronald Acuna rumor tweet. Was someone had tweeted like, "What, we're supposed to take the word for a guy who can't afford $8 a month to get verified?" Oh my God, Twitter's such a crap show right now.
Oh man, I love it. It's honestly, that insulin thing is wild. Like that wild. That tanked their stock market.
Billions
like their
of
stock
dollars.
Prices. Like billions of dollars it cost them. It's hilarious. Just anyone with $8 can now go on there and be like, I'm this guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. We should make an account, spend $8, make like a verified Yankees account and says like, well, we wish Aaron Judge the best of luck. Oh man. All right.
The New York Yankees. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Exiting the Twitterverse and into reality here, we do have a pile of stuff to get to. The Rule 5 draft is coming up, but of course the Jays are trying to shore up that 40-man roster. They've made a few moves, so we'll get to that. There's a fork in the road here for the Blue Jays, and there are directions that they can take that maybe we haven't thought of. So we are going to get into what direction they possibly could wind up going this offseason. The free agent reliever market. My goodness, dude, these guys are getting paid and the market is thinning pretty quickly here. We'll touch on available relievers. Ronald Acuna, we talked about it right off the top there, right? Twitter is going insane. Braves fans are losing their mind. But not just fringe guys are talking about it. We even had John Morosi mention the fact that Acuna could be available. So we will get into that. Houston Astros are doing some weird stuff, for lack of a better term, clearing out their front office. We'll talk the Astros, and we are still sitting here waiting for the first shoe to drop for big time positional free agents. We've only seen the reliever market moving, so we're going to kind of speculate on who we think could be the first one, the first domino to get going here. So let's kick it off here with the Rule 5 draft, which takes place Wednesday, December 7th. That is going to be how the winter meetings wrap up, is the Rule 5 draft. Now, for those of you unaware of what the Rule 5 is, when minor league players hit a certain amount of service time within an organization, they are now eligible to be almost redrafted. It's a second draft almost. But the trick is,
it's a use it or lose it situation.
It's a use it or lose it situation. So you're allowed to go and kind of pilfer other people's organizations and take their prospects that aren't being used within the big league system. But the trick is, they need to stay on your big league roster for a full year. Some Blue Jays fans may remember this being the case with Joe Biagini and Elvis Luciano. Of course, this doesn't always work out. Elvis, he made it all the way through, became a part of the Blue Jays system, never saw the big leagues again. He was actually just released by the Jays recently. So it's a roll of the dice. We've watched guys like Jordan Romano get taken in the Rule 5 draft. He went to Texas, didn't get through a full season, was returned to the Blue Jays system. Right. And you can also draft the Rule 5 guy, and then instead of sending him back to the team, you can work out a trade. So there are different ways of going about this Rule 5. The reason that the Rule 5 is important is it kind of shapes up what these organizations are doing. And some of you may have even heard all the talk about the Tampa Bay Rays seriously shopping some of their major league pitching. And one of the reasons they're doing that, I mean, I don't think there's a more confident organization when it comes to their player development and scouting staff and their ability to kind of predict how their prospects are going to progress.
Mm-hmm.
So all the talk about the Tampa Bay Rays is that they're going to move pitching off their major league roster to fill with these guys that might be picked up in Rule 5 draft from other organizations, which is the most Rays thing you could possibly do.
So we have pitchers who are pitching well, who are probably going to get a contract soon. Let's get rid of them and pilfer prospects that we believe in that other organizations don't.
100%.
And of course it's going to work. And of course it's going to work. Not to mention all the stuff they'll bring back in the trades of trading away those arms, right?
Oh, yeah. So friend of the show, this is funny because friend of the show, Jolly Olive, right? Really, really fun dude. He of course runs the Shea Station podcast there for the Mets, and he's under the John Boy umbrella and makes some really great content on dudes you probably wouldn't think that there would be, that they would be highlighted. So if you ever get a chance to check out Jolly Olive, definitely do so on YouTube. But he had a tweet where he was like, oh God, there's talk that the Mets are in talks with the Rays, so we're going to get screwed again. Right. And it's just, yep. It's hard as like a fan who watches baseball all the time and knows what the Rays can do to hear that they're talking to your organization. You're like, this can't work out well.
You know what? This is what we should do with our catching situation, is we should go to the Rays, see who they're most interested in, and then cross that guy off our list and go,
yes,
nope, Danny Jansen is untradeable because the Rays want him the most, or whoever the name might be.
Get into trade talks with the Rays just to find out who they're after, and then that's it. We're not doing this.
Oh, we just solved baseball, Scott. This is what we got to do. It's amazing.
So the Blue Jays did add some players to their 40-man roster. Once a player is on the 40-man roster, you are protected from the Rule 5 draft. And teams cannot take that guy, right? You're on the big league roster. Yep. The big surprise was Nathan Lukes. Okay, he finished the season at AAA last year with the Buffalo Bison. Versatile guy. He plays some center field. He plays some left field. He bit of a utility type of guy. He hits left. He's got some speed. Lots of reasons to try and keep Nathan Lukes within the organization, although he doesn't really project as a guy who most likely is going to be an everyday player. You never know who's going to step up and take a spot, but it was interesting to see them protect a guy who is a fringe.
It's a feather in the cap. It's a good signal of confidence.
Yeah, great for Lukes.
Good for Lukes. Just seeing the live chat here, a funny comment that made me laugh. Simon says, hashtag use it or lose it, hashtag Cialis. I sense a key sponsorship coming. So there you go. The Rule 5 draft brought to you by Cialis. Use it or lose it.
That use it or lose it. We're going to transition a little bit here into the fact that once the Rule 5 draft is done and the winter meetings are over, we're going to see some movement. We're going to be able to start to hopefully predict which direction the Jays are going to take. I know that we talked a lot about how important it is for them to go out and get a big time reliever. And it doesn't look like that's probably going to be what they do in free agency. I'm not saying, I think that if they are going to bolster their bullpen, it will be through trade. It might even be from within. There are a couple of guys who do have that high strikeout, high velo thing going on right now, both of which were injured throughout the 2022 minor league season. Of course, I'm talking about Big Nate Pearson. This is a guy no Blue Jays fan wants to see us put any sort of hope into.
I can see the thumbnail being built in my head right now. Nate Pearson, our savior in 2023. Let's go.
Right. And the other guy to keep an eye out that very well could be at the back end of this Blue Jays bullpen by the end of the 2023 season is friend of the show, Hagen Danner, Haggy D, who, by the way, is going to be returning to the show in December. I know we were chatting with him on Instagram there. He just finished up the Arizona Fall League. He had himself some incredible numbers. He finished, I forget what his whip was. It was under one. I think it was 0.8, but his ERA was about 3.5. And he allowed all those runs in his first game, a game that was the first time he pitched all season. And then he was just lights out.
Settled right in.
I know a friend of the show, Brandon Delaney, he, of course, is the prospect king when it comes to this Blue Jays system. He follows it very, very closely. A very tedious job that he is doing here, but he seems to manage to kind of comb through all the minor league systems, comb through the Arizona Fall League, comb through the Dominican League, keep everyone apprised as to what's going on within this Blue Jays system. Something that you and I mean, we've tried to do rankings things before, Adam, and realized like a tip of the hat to anyone who's compiling these numbers.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You don't come to us for the research and the data. We are conversation and community. So we'll copy someone else's homework any day of the week. There we go. Nate Pearson, though, is once again frustrating all of us by being good in the minor leagues. Is good in the minor leagues an understatement, honestly, at this point?
This winter ball season, I guess, for lack of a better term, I know it's only about a month and a half here, but this Dominican winter ball league that he's playing in, he currently has yet to allow a run. The guy has been a strikeout machine, and you watch him pitch. And again, if you would like to see some clips of him, Brendan Delaney at B Delaney on Twitter has actually taken the time to make these clips and show his strikes. The kid has hubris, buddy. He is confident right now. I haven't seen this sort of confidence in Nate Pearson since they were interviewing him about how he's going to accept his Hall of Fame induction.
Right? On MLB Network, of course.
On MLB Network. So it will be really interesting to see what the Blue Jays do here with the bullpen in particular. And I know that there's already Blue Jays fans that are freaking out a little bit. There's already Blue Jays fans you see online that are saying things like, this is going to happen again. The bullpen's not going to be addressed. I mean, it is concerning because they haven't done anything in the last 2 years to the extent that maybe a lot of fans would like. But also, let's reel it in a little bit here, gang. We're like, what is it, like 9 days after the World Series was won? Like, let's just hit the brakes. This isn't a disaster just because Edwin Diaz, Montero, and Suarez are off the books.
What do you mean?
It does not mean.
I can't stop thinking about Nate Pearson pitching on opening day 2023. Man, I'm in. I'm back on the hype train. Let's go.
Before we move on, Adam, I know before we hit the record button, you were talking a little bit about your thoughts on the Montero signing. I would love for you to, let's talk relievers a little bit here. Let's talk about the fact that there is some serious risk to it, despite all of us wanting them to just go out and spend big time money on these relievers.
Okay, so I was looking at, I think it was Jeff Passan tweet here. He had the breakdown of the Montero contract. 3 years, $34 million for Rafael Montero. Rafael Montero last year pitched to a 7 ERA in Seattle.
In 2021, yeah.
Sorry, yeah, last year.
No, I get what you're saying, yeah.
This is a guy that's 32 years old, has a career ERA of 4.6, which makes Jose Barrios salivate. And walks per nine over four. And they just gave him $36 million or 30, what was it, $34 million?
That's, yeah, it's like an AAV of like $11.5 million a year.
Look, he had a really a great season by all accounts in 2022.
And an incredible postseason.
And an incredible postseason. That's a lot of money for a guy with a long list of accomplishments on the back of his baseball card. We talk about it all the time. Like, is this the real Rafael Montero, or is this the blip, right? Has he turned the corner? Has he figured out baseball, or has he just come up with something that baseball hasn't adjusted to quite yet?
I mean,
but I wouldn't have given him that much money.
I don't think I would have either. And honestly,
3 years is a lot too. Like, if I was going to give him a good chunk of money, maybe on like a 1 year deal, like, all right, let's retain you. You know, here's $12 million. Let's see if you can do that again. If you can repeat that, we'll lock you up.
But I kind of feel the same way. I kind of feel the same way about Robert Suarez, who I was very all in on. I was like, I would love to see the Blue Jays go out and get him. Of course, he re-upped with the Padres 5 years, $46 million, I think is what it was. That is so much term to give to a guy who really had a big breakout season here. There is a lot of reasons to want to lock up a guy with the stuff that Robert Suarez has, 102 mile an hour fastball, some really good secondary stuff that he locates incredibly well, which is always such a crapshoot, a roll of the dice when it comes to relievers and their secondary pitches. But man, I think the proof of how good Edwin Diaz is the fact that Robert Suarez is probably, I mean, Montero's right there as well, right? I mean, Montero's even making a little bit more when it comes to AAV, you know, per year. Didn't get quite the term. He's a little bit older than Suarez too. I think Suarez is 29. That said, Edwin Diaz.
Sorry, Suarez will be 32 next year.
Oh, Suarez is also 32. Wow. Okay. Thank you for that.
Rookie last year.
Yes. Well, he great. Did. He did. He did go. I think it was what, Japan. He went and dominated at.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't care about any of that. I really don't. I know what you're saying, and you're trying to justify it. And I'm like, look, he's a way better pitcher than I am. But we've seen time and time again, like the Japan leagues, for what they are really competitive ball. It is not Major League Baseball. Right, we see guys dominate at AAA, can't get it done in the MLB. We see guys dominate in a Japan league, can't quite find the same success over here. So I don't really want to give out money based on what some guy did in AAA or what some guy did in Japan. I don't. So a 32-year-old who just came off his rookie season, I don't care how good it is. That's a lot.
So look at these contracts, Adam.
It's a lot of money for a Suarez, setup man.
For Suarez and Montero. And then look at Edwin Diaz, who got 5 years, $102 million. But he has a track record. Mm-hmm. Not only does he have a track record, he's got a long track record of doing it year in and year out. You don't see Edwin Diaz type consistency when it comes to relievers. And the payday shows that. Because he doubled them. He more than doubled them. I mean, the closest comparable I can think of in baseball right now to Edwin Diaz is either Josh Hader or Liam Hendricks. That's probably the upper echelon. And he's doubling them.
Yeah.
I mean, that Liam Hendricks contract all of a sudden looks pretty good with the White Sox.
What did the Padres give Suarez?
5 years, 46 mil.
And looking at Josh Hader, in his fourth year of arbitration, becomes a free agent next year. Mm-hmm. Estimated $12 million for him to be their closer this year.
Yeah.
He's going to be in for a payday.
Yeah,
he had a little bit of a stumble mid-season there just after the trade deadline, but he settled in nicely.
Biggest blip on his career after they moved him, like to the point where we were the same. Like, we weren't any better than any of the other folks out there talking.
What did the Brewers know that we didn't?
Exactly.
Like, they really got out just in time.
And then the playoffs hit, and I mean, the end of September hit, and he was old Josh Hader.
So, I don't know. Padres got a lot of money to spend for a setup man and a closer. I don't think you let Josh Hader just walk away. But
I agree. Let's turn the page. Did you have anything else to say on relievers and the relief market?
Nope. It's a big overspend. It concerns me. I don't think the Jays are going to be able to do much in the relief market.
I mean, Daniel Bard got, what, 2 years, $19 million? Daniel Hudson got a year, $6.5 million. These are old dudes. Yeah. No offense to Daniel Hudson, former Blue Jay. No offense to Daniel Bard.
These are guys who think Twitter is the hip new social media coming out.
Exactly. They're there with me yelling at 14-year-olds. okay. So let's get into the fact that Ronald Acuña Jr., rumor surfaced over the last week that Alex Anthopoulos was considering moving him. Now, this all surfaced from friend of the show, Jim Riley from Ball Cap Sports. Now, a little story about Jim here. When we were just babies in the podcast world, this was 2 years ago, we probably had 30 subscribers on YouTube. Jim had about 2,000 subscribers and had yet to flip to Major League Baseball as a under the full umbrella, right? He was more of just a Blue Jays podcast, very much like we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And he brought us on the show to talk some Blue Jays and baseball. Really, really good dude. And I know last year in the spring, now Jim has some sources. Jim isn't a guy who, you go on his Twitter, he's not constantly doing shit like this. This isn't his MO to just put out rumors for the sake of putting out rumors. So I do truly believe that there is someone within the Atlanta Braves organization that mentioned a truth to him, which is that Anthopoulos possibly could move Acuña. Listen, this isn't going to happen. I don't think that Jim thought this was going to happen. And I think I haven't talked to him since he tweeted this stuff, but I think if Jim knew the backlash from Braves fans that he would have got for tweeting this, he may have held on to this information.
Or it's no such thing as bad publicity.
Exactly.
Like, if it drives traffic, it drives traffic. And who knows? Maybe this is good for him. I hope it is. But
more or less, what he said is that Anthopoulos is a creative general manager, always has been. He's always looking to fill holes within the organization in unique ways that can be long-term fixes. We watched him do this with letting Freddie Freeman walk in free agency, go to the Los Angeles Dodgers, and then make a blockbuster trade with the Oakland Athletics to bring in Matt Olson, which, by the way, Jim from Ball Cap Sports was first on, or right there in the mix of it, to let people know. Like, he floated that rumor a week before it happened from the same source he says he had with this Acuña.
Irrelevant. I came on and did a quick video after this came out because it was just driving me nuts. You and I know both wanted to talk about it, but scheduling didn't quite work out, but I had to get something out. And I come down to this. I'll give Jim the benefit of the doubt as a friend. He's not a skeezy guy just for the clicks.
Yeah.
I do think he genuinely thinks he has a source that he believes. And if this is a source who gave him the Matt Olson deal or whatever, I'm still in the camp of being a skeptic, and that even a blind monkey finds a banana every once in a while. So In the age that we live in, anybody can make 100 predictions, send, you know, one out to 100 different podcasters or influencers, whatever title you want to give them, hit on one of them.
Yeah.
And now you've got one guy who thinks you're a reliable source.
That's right.
Right. Like, I could do the same thing, and I only need one guy to be right with. It's the same with gamblers, right? Like, gamblers that, you know, at the start of the season, they make their picks, and it's like these bold upset underdogs, and they, you know, they're just sending them out to everybody. They're right on one of them, and then they get a guy to buy into that. Oh, this guy knows something that they don't, but they don't see the 99 that he got wrong on the same day that he sent to everyone else. So I'm a skeptic of Jim's source, but not of Jim himself.
So that, Adam, being
said, let's dig into this, Ronald.
I was just going to say, let's play the game then. Let's play the game. Let's act like there is some validity to this. Why would they move Acuña?
I couldn't come up with a good reason.
I really don't have a very good reason either.
It made no sense to me. One thing I've read since then is that he is a possible holdout candidate if he's frustrated with his contract and thinks that he does deserve more given what he has accomplished since signing the contract. Good luck with that if that's the case. Like, he's got, what, 6 years left?
Contract's a contract. There's nothing he can do. Yeah, there's nothing he can do, right? So, like, he can be as upset. He can fire his agent. He can, I mean.
And if that's really the case, look, if that's the case, because here's the crutch of this speculation. Ronald Acuña Jr. to the, you know, I think the names mentioned were the Orioles, Mariners, and the Blue Jays, right? But let's just go with the Blue Jays for argument's sake. The return on that trade would have to be massive because of the team-friendly contract, right?
Yes.
So there is going to be a Bo Bichette caliber guy and or a Alek Manoah caliber guy and or a top-tier prospect, right? This is, look at what we just saw Juan Soto get dealt for.
Mm-hmm.
But Juan Soto is going to be a free agent in the next, what, 2 years?
Yes, sir.
With Ronald Acuña Jr. being locked up at a very team-friendly $10 million a year, what a bargain, for 6 years.
2028.
That is, even if Juan Soto is better than Ronald Acuña Jr., and there's an argument to be made that he's not, that team-friendly deal really tips the scales of the trade value, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if the whole reason for the trade is that Ronald Acuña Jr. is unhappy with his deal and wants to renegotiate terms, how do two sides come together on what is like a fair price tag for that trade? Like, I'm not giving up nearly as much if I'm going to have to re-sign or rework his contract as soon as he gets here.
I mean, it's an impossibility. No one's going to do that. Like, it is what it is. So are there other reasons? Possibly. He has struggled to stay on the field. It could be a health issue. Okay. He wasn't involved with the 2021 World Series. He was not on the field as the Blue Jays the Braves won that World Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
He badmouthed Freddie Freeman after he left the team. Like, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws here. I
can't come up with it either. Like, whether he's unhappy with his contract or whether it's a bad clubhouse fit. Again, all of the reasons why it's like trading with the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they want to get rid of a guy, that is, to me, is enough reason that I don't want him. Right? If you're telling me that Ronald Acuña is unhappy for whatever reason, that's enough reason for me to be like, well, maybe not that I don't want him, but that like we can't just make a trade on face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if there's contract unhappiness or there is like a chemistry issue in the clubhouse, that's a real risk to bring into the Blue Jays and just go, well, he didn't work out with the Braves, but maybe he gets along better with Vladdy and Danny Jansen. And it's just
now the other side is that the Braves do have a crowded outfield currently.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be able to move Marcelo Zuna, despite Braves fans screaming from the top of the frickin' world and mountaintops that this is exactly the move they need to do. How are you going to do that? Who's going to take him? They do need a shortstop currently if they're not going to be able to re-sign Dansby Swanson. And we have watched Alex Anthopoulos in the past lock up these players long-term before they go to free agency. The one example that we have of a guy actually going to free agency, he's playing for the Los Angeles Dodgers right now. So maybe Dansby's gone. And maybe at this point, Anthopoulos is looking around the major league landscape of shortstops. He knows possibly, you know, there have been rumors that Bo Bichette isn't going to re-sign at the end of his, or when his service time is up here and he becomes a free agent in 2026. There is still, you know, three more seasons of Bo Bichette.
I love the pushback that you're given, and that makes sense. But here's the other pushback, is that if the reason for getting rid of Acuña Jr. is he's unhappy with his contract, well, how happy is Bo Bichette with his contract?
I mean, listen, every player needs to put in their service time to become a free agent. It's just the way the game goes. You can be bitter and upset all you'd like. It's not going to do you any good.
Right, but the Braves are not going to give Bo Bichette $200 million. And that's what Bo Bichette thinks he's worth. That's why he's unhappy right now.
And this is where maybe Alex Anthopoulos thinks that he can convince, you know, maybe he looks at Bo Bichette and he's like, Bo is from an American family. You know, Dante is red, white, and blue all along, right? Played with Colorado. Maybe he feels that on American soil, he can convince Bo that the Braves organization is the way to go.
That's a heck of a gamble. That's a heck of a maybe.
The Blue Jays did it with Jose Berríos. I mean, make these bets. Teams make
Right. I don't think the Blue Jays are, I think the Blue Jays and the Braves are playing with two different sets of rules.
100%.
And I don't think Alex Anthopoulos is going to go after a shortstop who has shown that much of a ceiling while being that close to free agency. Now, if this speculation was that there is a deal being worked on to send him to Tampa Bay for Wander Franco, I would be a lot more believable of that, right? Because mm-hmm. he's already got a little bit of a team-friendly deal there with Tampa Bay. Or someone that is like a rookie, still 6 years away, we could go get this guy and offer him what we're giving Ronald Acuña Jr. right now. I don't buy it for a second, man. I don't buy it for a second. It doesn't make sense for too many reasons.
I agree. And, I mean, just to reiterate this, like, you know, from a Jays standpoint, yeah, Acuña can play some center field. It would move Springer to right. He's another righty bat. Not, I mean, with the skill Acuña has, I don't handedness, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just with you, man. There's just like, how does this work? Like, how does this benefit both teams? And this idea from Braves fans that Manoah would need to be in the deal with Bichette, like, that's not
Manoah's a non-starter. That's a deal breaker before you even get the phone answered, right? Like, there's no way the Blue Jays are trading Alec Manoah right now, especially with the money that they have invested in pitchers. We've spent dozens of minutes, which is actually a lot of time, talking about the financial situation and the money the Blue Jays have invested in starting pitching. And the saving grace there has been Alec Manoah playing at such an elite level for free. So we're not getting rid of Alec Manoah anytime soon. I would say he's the most untouchable guy on our team, to be honest.
And for the reasons you just mentioned, I actually kind of feel like the number one prospect for this Blue Jays team, Ricky Tiedemann, is almost untouchable as well. I'm not saying he is.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are scenarios out there in which we could see Ricky Tiedemann moved. But the cost of surety of him is sure attractive. And listen, mm-hmm. I know that a prospect is a prospect until he proves otherwise. But boy, oh boy, with the amount of money that they currently have invested in Jose Berríos, Kevin Gausman, and Yusei Kikuchi.
Not to mention Ryu.
Yeah, like, there's no way. They just, you need young, affordable arms. You need young, affordable players to make up for the contracts of a George Springer, to make up for the contracts of a Kevin Gausman, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these $100 million contracts that the Blue Jays are throwing around are only sustainable because of the young influx of talent that they currently have. That's under
why we're able to give George Springer $150 million is because we've got a gold glove first baseman playing for free as well.
$8 million. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which, by the way, arbitration eligible. Vladdy's at ARB eligible again this year, and he's probably going to make a lot closer to $15 million this year, somewhere between 12 and 15. But okay. Anything to add there with the Acuña stuff?
Nah, let's move on from that.
Let's move on and never talk about it again until we have to. Okay, so the Houston Astros.
What?
Jim Crane.
What's going on?
What is going on in Houston, man? It is so. Jim Crane is the owner of the Houston Astros. He's been touted as one of the best owners in baseball for a lot of reasons. Number one being his willingness to spend, his prowess at assembling a front office in which player development and scouting comes first. You look at this Astros team and the homegrown talent within it is incredibly impressive. Anyways, long story short, James Click was fired. He was offered a one-year extension, which he turned down because why wouldn't you after winning the World Series? Yeah. Not just James Click, but then the assistant general manager, which is interesting because Jim Crane had a real problem last season with Click because he brought in, I think it was 11 extra scouts and two assistant general managers on Crane's dime. Right? I don't know what this cost him, but I guarantee it's under $1 million.
All 11 probably cost $1 million.
Yeah, like literally. Like with the assistant general managers. Yeah. You know, like, I guarantee this is a drop in the bucket, and it doesn't even, it's allotted at a different level than player salary. Like,
right.
The front office salary is its own entity. And they won a World Series.
In six games. All right. Cue the Seinfeld meme. This is just too good to not share. So this is for all the Seinfeld lovers and people over 30 that we know. Here's George Costanza giving Derek Jeter and I don't know who's with him. Is that Gary Sheffield? Batting advice. Jeter's like, but we just won the World Series. And George Costanza with the smirk. Yeah, in six games. give me a contract extension. We just won the World Series. Yeah, but you didn't sweep. We're looking for a guy who can win the World Series in four. So it's weird, man. I don't know who's at the helm now giving out money. If they just signed Rafael Montero, like, this is,
it is, I don't know. And listen, as we watch it time and time again, as soon as an owner starts to get too many of his fingers in the pie, things go terribly, terribly wrong, right? Like, just ask the Los Angeles Angels about that problem. Okay. Jim Crane has been an excellent owner, and I can't see him messing with this formula that has worked for him for years. I just don't get it, man. And I think James Click is going to be scooped up instantly. I mean, he just won a World Series.
He'll land on his feet. If Charlie Montoyo can find another job, I'm sure World Series champion Click will do just fine as well.
And it's interesting because Dusty Baker was also offered only a one-year deal, but Dusty Baker's 73. Mm-hmm. And he was like, sure, I'll come back for a year. I don't care. If you're trying to chase me out, I'm probably going to chase myself out in a year. Like, you know, he's probably ready to hang it up shortly anyways. And he's just like, yeah, I'll come defend the World Series championship for one more year here and see what happens. Like, why wouldn't he? But James Click took it as a bit of an insult. And it kind of was an insult. I think this was all a plan to get him to turn it down so that he could be fired without that term being attached to it, right?
You know what? Good for him. I wish him the best of luck. And after he hits 62 home runs after betting on himself this year, I hope I hope he gets a big payday somewhere else.
Which is interesting. I didn't even look at the teams who need a general manager. Is there a general manager hole open right now?
Well, New York Yankees haven't exactly brought what's his name, Cashman back yet. He's still operating baseball operations there. But maybe they reevaluate now. I think his contract's up in December. They haven't formally, and I know they've brought Aaron Boone back as clubhouse manager there. Cashman's not locked up yet. Like, he's still doing the negotiations with Aaron Judge. He's still at the helm, essentially, but he does not have a guaranteed future. You know, there might be a handshake agreement that, like, hey, we will extend you, and we just got to work out the numbers, right? But maybe this changes things. If I'm the Yankees fans, I would seriously look at it.
I mean, is this the Ross Atkins of John Schneider's our guy unless somebody magically appears that's way better?
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like. Like, and then I don't know. That's
a really good point, because if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm sweating now, right? I felt pretty good when there wasn't really any viable options out there, but I mean, James Click just won the World Series.
Yeah.
And is known for player development, something that the Yankees do truly value. It's going to be an interesting free agent and off-season period here for all sorts of different reasons. But this James Click one is just very interesting. Let's wrap up. Let's wrap up with the fact that the free agent market has yet to really unclog, I guess, for lack of a more intelligent term to use here, bud.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen those high-end relievers get swooped up, picked up right away. No real surprises. Edwin Diaz stays a Met, didn't even hit free agency. Robert Suarez stays a Padre, wasn't on the market very long. Rafael Montero stays an Astro, wasn't on the market very long. When will a position player get signed? And who do you think is the shoe that needs to drop to really start seeing some movement here? Are we waiting on Trey Turner?
Well,
is this an Aaron Judge must be signed first, or is Aaron Judge its own entity and its own thing put on a shelf? That'll happen when it happens. Everything else relies on what? Carlos Correa?
Well, good question. First and foremost, I just want to address this Jeff Passan tweet. Points out that the 14 players tendered qualifying offers have until Tuesday, so tomorrow.
Yeah,
at 4 p.m. Eastern to accept their one-year $19.65 million contract. I don't think any position players get signed today.
No.
Like, not until those
Not until that's official, decided.
Right?
Yeah.
Once that is resolved, is Aaron Judge going to be the real logjam at the top? Probably. I don't think Carlos Correa wants to sign a contract until he sees what Aaron Judge gets. I don't think Aaron Judge wants to sign a contract until he sees, you know, like, there is going to be a little bit of, you know, there is some ego on the line. These guys want to set these record deals. I mean, we just spent 20 minutes talking about Ronald Acuña Jr. being unhappy with his deal, right? So there is that factor. As to who signs first, which position player signs first, here's my bet. Michael Conforto.
Interesting.
My reason being, he waited last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't play.
Yes.
Waiting cost him. He
now
can't
he was
afford,
injured.
Well, he was injured
right.
in April when doing team workouts. That was before he had a contract. He did get healthy mid-season. Did not sign at anywhere. Last year. If I'm Michael Conforto, I already lost a season of 15 to 20 million. I'm not doing that again.
Do you bet on yourself if you're Conforto and you take that 1 year deal that everyone's obviously, because I guarantee there's $20 million out there for him if he's going to take a 1 year deal. But I don't think that there's a $100 million 5 year contract for him.
Maybe there's not a $100 million 5 years, but would I take 75 over four? And again, that's just a made up number, right?
No,
but would
I take
that over the 1 year max value? I don't know if I bet on myself after what happened last year.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty gun shy after the way things played out. You know, Boris told me, hey, don't worry, someone will be there. Then there wasn't. And then all season just watching baseball from home. I don't know. Plus, I'd be a little bit worried. Maybe I've lost a step.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a big football guy. All the time we see these guys take a year off. They're holding out. They come back next year. It is one thing to work out at home. It is another thing to work out.
To be in game day
shape. Have real game day shape.
Yeah.
Your reflexes, again, hashtag Cialis. Use it or lose it. You know? That's tough, man. I don't care how much MLB The Show Michael Conforto played last year. I'd be skeptical, man. If he came back and hit 220 and had an OPS plus of like 70, I wouldn't be shocked this year. So for me, I want max total dollars. I'm not messing around anymore. If the AAV is low, but I get, you know, 90 million over 5 years, or, you know, 80 million over whatever the number is, I'm give me as much money as I can, because I don't know what I've got left in the tank. But again,
I
you don't
I
get
love
to
that
level by not believing in yourself.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing this.
I love that prediction, man. I think Conforto is a good bet to be the first one to go. I'm going to go with Jean Segura.
Okay.
He opted out of, or I guess was bought out of his player option, or team option, I should say, with the Philadelphia Phillies. had a bit of a down year, but a really good playoffs. And with this free agent shortstop class and having those four high-end guys, right? The Swanson and the Bogarts Turner. And the Turner and Correa. I think that he's a guy who maybe would like to get signed before those deals come in. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you get a there's only so many openings for shortstop. There's only so many teams who have the payroll to make it worthwhile. So if you're a Segura type of player and who has the ability to be elite at times, he's had an up and down career, but he's had some really big years. He might be a guy that, maybe a team would give 2 years, $30 million, 2 years, $40 million, if he's prepared to do so. So I don't know. That's my guess for a position player to go first. I am so intrigued by this Correa and Trey Turner. Like, buddy, these are the two. Okay. These are the two. Correa's 28. Turner's 29. They're probably the best shortstops available. They both have well-rounded games. You know, like, there's just not really a weak spot in their repertoire.
I was thinking the same word.
It's going to be interesting to see who goes first. It's going to be interesting to see where they go, and it's going to be really fun to see how much term and money they get. Are these guys holding out for 10 years? Are these $300 million dudes? I don't know. But they think they are.
So you think Jean Segura, first shortstop to sign. All right. I'm with you. That makes sense to me.
Kind of the Algerdon Simmons of this year, you know, like just that, not necessarily a lower end shortstop, just like the more affordable choice out there. And there's probably teams that are like, if we just go out and get him right now, we don't need to worry about it. And then when all these other shoes drop and all these other guys wind up filling out holes, now we're not in a bidding war over Segura with three other teams, right? Mm-hmm. Who still need a shortstop. But,
well, I mean, we know as Jays fans how maddening it can be to spend your entire offseason focused on one guy and pining over that guy anyways. So that's, I know the Blue Jays aren't in the market for a shortstop. Maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe we go get a guy and move about a second. That's a talk for a whole nother day. But that's one thing I really want the Blue Jays to go into this offseason with is, like, let's not chase and lose on the top tier guys. Let's just go and get our guys, our B pluses, and let's not, oh well, we missed out on Justin Verlander, but you know, here's Zach Greinke.
Yeah,
like, I love Zach Greinke, but like, he's past his prime and old, and is not going to be a Cy Young candidate. Actually, I want Zach Greinke on my team. So
he also just signed with the Royals.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Is he playing shortstop finally, or is he still going to pitch? All right.
Let's leave it at that. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. You can always follow us on Twitter, a walk-off podcast. Don't just get me riled up, though. And listen, if you're a 14-year-old and you know you can push my buttons, please don't. I beg of you. You can follow us on Instagram, the walk-off podcast, our Discord. We've had like a dozen new people join in the last week, which is very, very cool. And they've been very active. So please, if you're into talking Blue Jays baseball and maybe you're looking at Twitter and going like, well, this is turning into a real dumpster fire, it's a pretty good alternative to have a warmer community too, a much nicer group of people to talk to. And the link for that is in the show notes. That's always free. A big shout out to our Patreon. We really appreciate you. I know John Dick, he reached out. He won our Jose Barrios jersey, which, by the way, John, Adam is going to get back to you. It's been a busy weekend. Message
today. It's been shipped. I don't know. It's in Canada Post's hands at this point. So
yes.
Hopefully you get it in time for opening day. That's all I can say. Oh, man. If that doesn't arrive, though, I guess by Eventually, we'll have to figure out something else.
Yeah, we'll figure it out, John. We've got your back.
We're not going to leave you hanging, John.
No, we won't leave you hanging. We're also in talks right now about another contest of sorts for all of you in Patreon. So stay tuned for that. We are going to figure out another giveaway here. And we're even at the point now where, yes, it is off season. I know we've said this about a million times, but we are going to do another few movie reviews here for you folks shortly. Apologies. I know every time we do it, there's like four of you that watch it and you enjoy it.
The
so
four
we
of you
are,
watch it or love it, and we appreciate you.
Yeah,
we love doing it. It's just hard to coordinate.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, there's all of our excuses, our dog ate our homework, all of that good stuff.
Subscribe. Our subscribers continue to grow. Clips channel. If you're watching this on the Clips channel, thank you. We're pushing 200 subscribers now, so let's see if we can get to 200 by the end of the week. That's my target. And yes. For the main channel, full unedited content, we're at 3,474 subscribers, so 26 shy of the big 3,500. I would like to get to 5,000 by Christmas. Do you think we can do that? Is that too ambitious?
It's pretty ambitious.
It's pretty ambitious, Scott, but there's going to be a lot of free agent talk. There's going to be a lot of reasons to come to YouTube over the next month. So that's the goal. Anyways, 5,000 subs by Christmas. And then we'll have a pizza party.
Love it.
Right? That was always the goal in elementary school. It was like, well, if we can raise $200 for the bottle drive, we'll have a pizza party on Friday. So pizza party on Friday.
I love pizza parties.
Me too. Just the best. Pajamas and pizza parties. And we're going to watch a Christmas movie on the last day of school.
Just a bunch of kids drunk on cheese and sauce, you know?
Does it get any better? Does it get any better? Give me that sweet, sweet cheese and sauce. All right. I'm out.
Have a great day. A great day, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.